mainly down to personal preference. It doesn't really matter for a woman who's never had a child. Mm-hmm. It's just down to what you want.
Okay.
The pill is usually quite difficult because, you know, you need to remember to take it, especially the progesterone-only pill. You need to remember to take it at the same time and not to miss it. You know, remember your midday roles. So it's usually quite difficult.
Such a job.
Hi, I'm Karen Haffick. Welcome to this week's episode of This Is Motherhood podcast, where your motherhood experience matters. Remember to speak to your health visitor or doctor before implementing anything new to your child's routine.
Joined by, basically, again, another sister friend, somebody who's been part of the village of, you know, helping me navigate motherhood. We go way, way back. And she's a doctor. And I'm so excited to have a doctor on the show. We're going to pick her brains, okay? Just like get all the juicy stuff that she's a black doctor, which is even more amazing, okay? So love it, love it, love it. A question that I ask every guest when they come on is, what was your favorite TV show when you were growing up or cartoon?
I think it probably was the Teletubbies.
Yeah.
I have the Teletubbies and the Queenie. And I think I'll probably go with Teletubbies.
You know, I don't know what the little bubbles, I don't know what it is about the Teletubbies, you know. I've tried to watch it recently and I just don't get it. They just bounce around. I'm like, what is this? I'm just like, I don't know if this would have been a one for me when I was growing up. And how old's your son? And I forgot to mention, she's also a mom. How old's your son? How old's Jerry?
Jerry is at the moment 2 years and 7 months.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yo, do you know how much I love that you've introduced it like that? because Junior just turned one, right? And I'm like, No, she's not just one, she's like 12 months, because obviously, you know, there's different sections to being one, and I'm like, she's still at the beginning phase, so don't expect her to be doing like some next, so I love that you've just said 2 years, 7 months, because us mom, we understand.
Definitely.
So what's he into?
At the moment, he's gone through a bit of a phase.
Yeah.
And at the moment, he is on Cochleo. I don't know if you've heard of Cochleo.
What's that?
It's a TV show. You know, they've got characters. Cochleo, Nina, was it Kelly Bird? It's a good show. So he's into that.
Yeah.
And at the moment, the next favorite thing is dinosaurs.
Oh.
He goes on King Kong and his dinosaurs, Tyrannosaurus Rex, T-Rex, literally he can go with the dinosaurs all day and just keep ranting and singing the song. So at the moment, that's where we are.
Yeah, oh, you've got a little scientist in the house. Jeez, or archaeologists or whatever they call them, digging up all the old stuff. Oh my goodness. Right, so Like I mentioned earlier, I was just so excited to have you on because, like, you being such an expert in your field, I just wanted to ask you all the things, like, we go to the doctors about and just be, like, asking. So the first thing is, when you're first pregnant, what kind of vitamins are you, like, advised to take? Because I remember when I first found out I was pregnant and I went to the doctors, they just said to me, get Pregnacare. And then, like, there's like an advanced one with like omega oil and stuff, and there's like a regular one, but like I say regular, it's like £12 a packet, so it's quite pricey. But to be fair, I took that all throughout my pregnancy. But I've also heard other women say, oh, you need to take iron tablets and all of this stuff. So is there like certain things you need to take, and then like how does that whole thing work out?
So to be fair, the only two things you actually need to take when you're pregnant is folic acid and vitamin D. Literally, that's it. So folic acid, we advise that ideally you need to start taking it before you get pregnant. Mm-hmm. So when you start thinking about, you know, wanting to get pregnant, at the time where you start wanting to take your contraceptive out, you need to start taking it. and you need to take that up to 12 weeks till into your pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we say that is that it's just because it helps with the formation of the nuchal tube, which essentially becomes the spinal cord in your brain. It forms the nervous system.
Oh.
And folic acid, without it really, or not having enough, can cause defects in that. So that's why we advise you to take folic acid, ideally before you actually get pregnant, and 12 weeks into your pregnancy. After 12 weeks, you stop taking it.
Okay.
And the only other one you really need to take throughout is vitamin D. So, I mean, I know you like your branded stuff.
I know. Forgive me. I do.
Literally, when I was pregnant, or when I knew that I was going to get pregnant, I literally went into Tesco and picked up a Tesco brand of folic acid. And I think it had like about 60 tablets, which is more than 3 months' worth. And then I just got two boxes of the vitamin D, which took me all throughout the pregnancy. But because I was breastfeeding as well, I was still taking vitamin D all throughout. All throughout my breastfeeding period as well. Well, ideally, everyone should be taking vitamin D anyway. So at the moment, that's
This is not common knowledge, because I didn't even need to know that. Because I know, like, at the hospital, they gave me, like, these vitamin D drops, but I was just like, oh, what's this? You know what I mean? Because, like me being African, we were not raised on taking vitamins and all of that good stuff. It's like, you drink water, you eat your food, and you're good. So, like, I didn't even know that you could take vitamin D, or even after you give birth. That's
yeah. So, I mean, at the moment, the recommendation is that every adult take vitamin D supplements anyway. In regards to pregnant women, you say take it throughout all your pregnancy, and most especially if you're breastfeeding, take it throughout your breastfeeding period as well. Because at least it will go through your breast milk, and the baby would be able to get that vitamin D throughout. Because if you're exclusively breastfeeding, you need to remember that you can't give them anything else but the breast milk if you're exclusively breastfeeding.
Yeah.
So every nutrient that they're getting is coming from you.
Mm-hmm.
So once you're taking those supplements, then at least they can get it through that, and their bones can become healthy. Going back to the branded vitamins that I was talking about, when you're getting things like pregnant care and all of that, you need to be quite careful. And just because you need to look at it and take one that doesn't have vitamin A.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're pregnant, you don't need to take vitamin A. Well, you shouldn't take vitamin A, because it can cause birth defects. So we advise women not to take vitamin A or eat foods that are rich in vitamin A, so like liver, like pate, and things like that. You shouldn't really be eating when you're pregnant.
Can I just be like, you know, the most, because me, I like simple. I like, so what's vitamin D, like, and then what's vitamin A?
So vitamin A essentially is, the actual form is retinol. Without getting too technical, basically vitamin A just helps us like regrowth. So usually, you know, people into skincare tend to use vitamin A or retinol oil at night, and it's for regrowth essentially. But the problem with it is that when it's consumed in high amounts, it can build up in like liver and things like that. That's why we say don't eat liver, because it has a higher concentration of vitamin A when you're pregnant, and that can sometimes, well, it most often than not, just leads to birth defects. So we advise pregnant women not to take vitamin A. And vitamin D essentially is basically what we need for uptake of calcium and phosphate. So take vitamin D, and it helps you take up the calcium properly. It helps you take up your vitamin D and your phosphate and absorb it. And essentially just helps with the production of healthy bones.
Do you know how cool this is that I got you on speed dial? Yo, like, I swear to God, I literally have the coolest, like, little mommy. I've got a teacher here, I got a doctor here. So after, like, from that question then, contraception, like, yo, this is, like, such a big deal to me, okay? Like, gave birth, I was not a fan of contraception before, like, hopefully my mom's not listening to this episode, but I wasn't, I was just never a fan of it. So we would do it like the old school method. But, and then the time I did try, I think when me and Valentine moved in together, the time I did try it, the amount of weight I gained when I was on the pill, I just hated it. So I stopped taking it. And then I just didn't like the way that I had to remember to take it every day. And it just seemed too much of a fuss. So after I had Juni, like, especially after my experience, I was like, I definitely didn't want to have another, you know, baby anytime soon. So I wanted to make sure it was good, good, good. So I went and got the coil. But for like a good like 6 months, my period was irregular, it was heavy, my mood, it just seemed like my hormones were just kind of wilding, although I know that one's like hormone free. So I'm like, did I make the best decision? Like, what? Talk us through, like, you know, the different contraception methods and then how they affect our bodies, especially for Black women.
The contraception is one of those things that can take a whole day. But essentially, in simple terms, we like to break contraception down into what we call LARCs, so long-acting reversible contraception, and essentially non-LARCs.
Yeah.
When we talk about the long-acting reversible contraception, we're talking about the coils, in which there are two types. So you've got your IUS, and you've got your IUD.
Ah.
So the IUD is the copper coil,
yeah,
which doesn't have any hormones in it, and the IUS is things like the Myrina and the Jada, which only has a very small amount of progesterone in it, which basically is only released into the lining of the uterus or into the uterus, so it's very local.
Right.
You've got things like the implant, which lasts for 3 years, but the other one is the injection, the depot injection. So if we take those things and then we can at least go into them and then we can come back to the other things. So it can get a little bit complicated.
let's keep it simple because woof.
Okay. So essentially let's start with the implant.
Mm-hmm.
So implant is essentially one of the most effective methods of contraception.
Right.
And it can be 99% effective. Once it's fitted, it can last for up to 3 years, but you can take any time you want.
Okay.
The main hormone in that is progesterone, and the type of progesterone in the implant basically stops ovulation, and it thickens the cervical mucus. So essentially that helps to stop sperm from swimming and reaching the egg.
Right.
And then it will stain the lining of the uterus as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that it will stop a fertilized egg from implanting. And the main thing with that is that bleeding can become a problem. In that it can be a little bit unpredictable. So it can either stop, it can become irregular, or it can become longer. So essentially, usually, like, with, I think it's a rule of third, if I remember correctly, so a third of women, their periods will stop, a third of them will have irregular, and a third of them will become heavy.
Oh, yeah, I was on the latter third, but yeah.
and that's usually the implant.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing with the implant that people find is weight gain, because it doesn't directly cause you to gain weight. There's no evidence that it actually causes you to gain weight, but it increases your appetite. So if it increases your appetite and you're going to eat more, then indirectly you are obviously going to gain the weight.
Yeah.
So essentially that's it. That's the implant.
Yeah.
Then we've got the IUS, which is the Myrina, or the Jada, and I am biased. That is my favorite, and that's what I've got. Again, so 99% effective. And once it's fitted, you don't even need to think about it anymore. It lasts for 3 years if it's the Jada, or 5 years if it's the Myrina. You can take it out anytime you want. And once you've taken it out, your fertility returns to normal. Whatever it was before, it just returns to And again, does the same thing. Because it's very local, it just works on the lining of the uterus and it stops the fertilized egg from being implanted. And again, it also thickens your cervical mucus. But because it works mainly on the lining of the uterus, for most women, more often than not, your period will become very lighter and shorter because it makes the lining of the uterus thinner. So because the lining of the uterus is thin, you're not shedding too much, so you're not bleeding too much. But most often than not, we also use it to treat heavy menstrual periods. And usually that's the first time we use to treat heavy menstrual periods as well. But again, the main thing with that is the bleeding can be erratic for like the first 6 months and then it settles down. And but once it settles down, it's usually best. I mean, right now I'm on, I don't really use pads anymore. I'm on just Pantoline with my period because it's very light.
Must be nice to be you.
it's much shorter than it used to be.
And
I don't even have to think about it. It's in place, it's there. I don't have to worry about it. So that's one thing that I like about that one. And then we come to the copper coil, which was what you had. So that one doesn't have any home in it at all. It's just a copper. And then again, because it's 99% effective. But the main thing with that is it makes periods heavier and painful. And it can make them longer as well. So I know a lot of women don't like hormones going in, and a lot of women vote or they go for the copper. But you need to keep in mind that your periods will be heavier, will be a bit more painful, and they will be longer. So it's usually an option for women. But I would say if you're going to go for coil, I'd probably advise or I would probably advocate for people to go for the Myrina rather than the copper.
You know what it is for me that sold me with the copper thing? It was just because it was hormone free. Because like, you know, as I mentioned, like having been on the pill before, I was like, definitely I don't want anything with hormones in it because, you know, it increased my appetite, I was eating more and all of that stuff. So I was just like, nah, I can't go back there. So the reason I literally went for that was because it was hormone free. But if I knew of the other side effects, I definitely would have like gone easily for the IUF because girl, like I need, you know, especially like just trying to keep it like, you know, trying to keep the spark alive with your man as well. It can be so annoying to be going for like a 7 day heavy period that you can't even, do you know what I mean? So it's just, it just gets in the way. But nah, like it's definitely something I'm going to take on board. Yeah, continue. Sorry, I cut you.
I think the main thing is that I know a lot of people don't want hormones, but you need to know which hormone is in which tablet. So we'll come to that in a minute.
Okay.
And then you need to know which side effects. But also, how is the hormone working? So the main thing with tablets is that the hormones are systemic. So they go into your body and they are in your bloodstream. So they'll work on every single part of your body. But the main thing with the Myrina is that it's only released at the uterus. So just at the lining of the uterus. It doesn't go anywhere else. So it just sits there and the hormone just works there by filling the lining of the uterus. That's it. So you don't get any of the other systemic side effects that you would normally get if you took it as a pill. That is why I tend to go for that, and that's my favorite because it doesn't really, you don't get all the other side effects, you know, like bloating, weight gain, anything else. It just works at where it's supposed to work, which is the uterus, thinning the lining. And I mean, it's good. You barely have periods, but if you do have periods, they're very light as well. So moving on to the other point, the other lark is the depot injection. This lasts for 3 weeks. And every 2 weeks, you just need to go and get the injection, 13 weeks, sorry. And you need to go and get it repeated every 3 months. And essentially, the main thing is that, again, it's a progesterone, but again, it will be systemic because it's going into the system. But the main thing with that is that your fertility, once you want to get pregnant, it takes a very long time for your fertility to return. And it can take up to a year for women to go back to their normal. if you're a woman of a childbearing age and you're thinking of getting pregnant anytime soon, mm-hmm. it's not something that we'd recommend.
Right.
It's not something that would say go for a depot injection. Because even when you stop using it, mm-hmm. it can still be an effect your fertility for up to a year.
Oh.
And the other two options with the LARC are your sterilization, whether it's female or male. And again, we don't really tend to recommend that until you think you're deaf and early deaf, early not having any more kids.
I'm like, I've never heard of that one before.
it's something, it's a surgical procedure and it's not easy to just reverse. Tying your tubes or having a vasectomy, it's not something that you can easily reverse.
Oh, is that, oh my God. Okay, so I've heard of those words, but like, I'm like, that's a professional word for it. Sterilization. Oh my God. Y'all make things sound so fancy. I'm like, yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh God, that's crazy. But like, oh, I wanted to touch on when you mentioned like, you know, first of all, panty liner stuff. So can you, when you have a copper coil or the IUF, are you able to use a tampon? Because I'm just a bit scared. So I've been using pads because I'm just, but then I just don't like the whole pad thing is just long. Do you know what I mean? But then it's like, I didn't want it to interfere with, you know, where it is. Like, can we use tampons?
Yeah, you can do, because technically tampons just sit at the tip of the uterus, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I know for some women, they insert it a bit too far in the uterus. but, you know, it's supposed to go into the vaginal wall and absorb the thing. The coil actually sits at the tip of the uterus, which is a little bit higher up. And you can feel the thread in the vaginal wall, so you can still use your tampon. But I'm not a big fan of tampon full stop. But if people want to use it, then I don't see why not.
You know. Oh my God! And last one on the contraception thing before we move on to the next thing is like ladies who haven't given birth, right?
Yeah.
Is there like some like that are recommended? And you know, because I was having a conversation and somebody was just mentioning that, oh, they wouldn't go for like the coil what I've gone for because, you know, they haven't given birth, and you know, because the procedure is not as sweet as maybe getting an implant or you know, just being given pills and stuff. So is there like contraceptive methods that you recommend for, or doctors recommend for people who've had babies, people who are, you know, or who haven't?
I think it's just down to personal preference and mm-hmm. understanding what each pill does and mm-hmm. or what not pill, but what each contraceptive does and how they work. And it's down to personal preference. I mean, I had the coil even when I didn't have Gary. It was the one I'd never had a baby. Uh-huh. But with the IUS, there's two forms of sort of a very smaller one, which mm-hmm. is the J-Death that lasted 3 years. And if you're going to go for that, we normally use that for women who've never been pregnant, because it's much smaller and your uterus isn't that open. Mm-hmm. But for a woman who's already had children, you can always just go for the 5-in-1 Myrina or mm-hmm. the J-Death if you want. So I think it's mainly down to personal preference. It doesn't really matter for a woman who's never had a child. Mm-hmm. It's just down to what you want.
Okay.
The pill is usually quite difficult because, you know, you need to remember to take it. Especially the progesterone only pill, you need to remember to take it at the same time and not to miss it. You know, remember your midday rolls. So it's usually quite difficult.
Such a job.
That's why we kind of tend to recommend the long acting reversible contraceptive. You know, it's there, you forget about it, and you don't have to worry about it. And the pills, like I already explained, because it's systemic and the hormone is going through your body, mm-hmm. you tend to get the side effects. The side effects are more pronounced. And you tend to notice the side effects because they affect in every aspect of your body. So it's really up to personal preference. As long as the woman understands what is in it, what's mm-hmm. in the contraception, mm-hmm. how it's working, the side effects of it, and what they need to do to take it or not to take it, mm-hmm. then they can opt for whatever they want. The only exception with that is a combined pill which contains estrogen. It's just not suitable for certain things. So if, you know, you've got migraines, you've got previous history of blood clots, you smoke, there are certain things that will exclude exclude you from having the pill with the estrogen. Mm-hmm. That's the only criteria. But apart from that, mm-hmm. most people have any contraception they desire for.
Oh my goodness. I feel like you're literally dropping gems of gold. I'm like, ding, ding, ding. Because, you know, like in the future, as I move on and like have more kids and stuff, like there's things that you've just talked about and mentioned, like I really didn't know that with the pill, it goes in your bloodstream and the hormone level is different. Whereas like the other thing is the hormone just goes exactly where it needs to work. I just didn't know all of that. So I'm just like, thank you, yo. I'm just so thankful. What's the average time it should take for a mom to heal, like especially with like a C-section? Because I know there's a lot of like content and material on natural birth, but like especially emergency section, what's the average time and what's the best way to kind of heal as well, just from a doctor's perspective?
So I think healing from any operation is mm-hmm. usually dependent on the person. It's quite individual. But on average, we tend to say 6 weeks. Usually, right. people tend to recover after 6 weeks. But again, there's other factors. You know, if you've got other children to be looking after, if you don't have anyone at home to help you, you're obviously going to be doing a lot of those things yourself, and it's going to take time for you to recover.
Mm-hmm.
But on the normal guidance or the normal circumstance, usually about 6 weeks is usually what we say. It would take to recover, mm-hmm. but like I say, everyone is different. And in that period of time, we tend to say, don't do things too strenuous. So mm-hmm. you shouldn't really lift anything that's heavier than your baby.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be lifting your baby in their car seat. You shouldn't be lifting heavy shopping. You need to be walking, but not too much. Just take yeah. it slowly and to build it up. Because the main thing is that most women after they've given birth, that postpartum period, we are prone to having blood clots. So we mm-hmm. tend to get women to be active. So you need to be active, but don't do too much, and you need to listen to your body. So, you know, just a few minutes, even if you can't go down the stairs, just walking around in the room, making sure you stretch your legs regularly, mm-hmm. all of that just keeps the blood flowing properly and prevents any blood clots from forming. And so, yeah, on average, it's usually about 6 weeks, but it can take a bit longer for other women.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, doctors need to put disclaimer. 6 weeks is just, you know, the the beginning point, because it's just, and we're talking to other C-section moms as well, like what the ones I have spoken to, you know, some people's healings could have been like way quicker than that. It's just... their recovery took a little bit longer, but I like, as you're speaking, I'm just like understanding as well that it's who you're around. I think when you're around other people who've kind of gone through the same experience, they can give you pointers. Like for example, me, if there's another mom that has like an emergency C-section or whatever, I'll literally tell them what not to do. Do you know what I mean? It'll be like, if people have to just wait to come see the baby, or you know, just have a resting place downstairs, or do you know what I mean, or just you can wash, do you know what I mean, you can wash, you don't have to take a bath every day, like those type of things there. So now I think it just comes with experience and exposure of who we know.
I mean, but, ideally, you don't keep the womb dry for at least 3 days. At least you keep it dry. I mean, if you want to, you can just, you know, it's quite difficult to take a shower. Because, I mean, what you can do is if you're really desperate for a shower, just cover it with like a plastic wrap or something that will keep it dry.
Yeah.
And just have your shower and then, yeah, make sure that's the main thing. Because the more moisture that goes into it, the more likelihood that it's going to get infected.
Oh, and if it's
becoming infected, it just means that it's just going to take you longer to recover. I know. You won't feel well, and you're more prone to having the clot. So it's a vicious cycle. So yeah, it can get into a vicious cycle.
It can get so crazy, right? Like I'm like, you know, do you look at your mom now? Like obviously, like I don't know what, you know, mom's like birth experience, but do you just look at your mom and go, wow, like wow? Because
all three of us were C-sections with my mom.
Were you?
Yeah, we all three were. So she had three C-sections, four women.
That's great. Right? More reason of looking at your mom like, yo, mom. Like, I promise you, I always say to my mom, Mom, I'll never ever look at you the same ever again. Like, you know what? You know, sometimes, like, your mommy and daughter relationship, sometimes your mom can just be doing, like, Mom, come on, chill, it's fine, it's okay. Now I give my mom, like, my mom's name is Grace. I give my mom all the grace. I'm like, Mom, you wanna go off? I'll go off. No, it's completely fine because you've earned it. Like, the things as mothers we go through, and then this is not even factoring in taking care of the baby. This is just yourself. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's a whole lot. But we are gonna go to our quick fire round questions. I think you've already touched on this already, but I'm just gonna ask you anyway. So what's one self-care thing you've done for yourself this week?
Oh yeah, staying today and doing absolutely nothing.
Having a lazy day.
It's a lazy day today. I mean, I tend to have my self-care days on Sunday. So usually like Sunday evening or Sunday afternoon. I don't like to do a lot of things. I just like to just sit and do nothing. You know, do my face mask, I'm gonna put a mask on. My hair routine, I just like to do all those things on Sunday evening, and it's quite relaxing, you know, having a bath if I can, and just sitting there for about an hour and just rest normally. So that's Sunday for me.
So Sundays are your self-care days. I love that. I love that, because now you just don't, it's just different when you have a baby, man. Imagine having two. Have you thought about adding a second one to the mix?
It will come at some point, but
I know, I'm looking at everybody, you know, like, there's people who've, like, got a one-year-old and are pregnant. I'm like, are you having a, I'm like, that could just never be me. More power to you, but not me. But what has, question number two, what has being a mom taught you about yourself?
That you are, I think it's taught me that I'm organized, and also that I am actually a big softie.
You really are.
You know, when Jerry, I mean, when he does something, if his dad is like, oh, you shouldn't do that, or his dad is like, take it away from him, I'm just like, don't you think you've been a bit too harsh? And his dad is like, no, he needs to learn. And, you know, but it's taught me that, yeah, I am a big softie.
No, like, you know what it is, it's like, it reminds me back of like being in high school, and you know, like it's just like you have this, like, what I want to say, aura. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you just step in a room, like, people just respect you. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, acoustic is here, don't be messing around. It's just that simple. Like, in our little clique, you just knew where everybody was placed. I was just the baby of the group, you know what I mean? So like, there's a softness about you, and I feel like, yo, having babies does change you like a little bit, and you're definitely on the softer side. You've given me some great mommy tips as a, like, to weaning and, you know, like, recipes and stuff. So what mommy tips or hacks have really helped you that you can share with us?
I think the main thing for me is batch cooking or bulk cooking. Because I didn't buy baby food at all. I didn't buy any formula milk or anything. So I did a two-week breastfeeding segment and then weaned them. And everything that I gave them, I made myself. So, you know, it's quite fun to do this. So I had to find recipes, and then I just feed some things in batches or make different things or three different recipes at once, and I have the time and freeze some of it, you know, have pots that you just keep them in the fridge, and it just makes it easy. You can literally take it out, put it in the hot water, warm it up, and just get it.
Yeah.
And that's the one.
That's the your
doing things in bulk, going back. It helps save time.
I really like that. And what's one baby product you can't live without? You're like, God, thank you for this. Is it branded?
Initially, I used to get the Tenzin one.
Yeah.
But then I went to Asda once, and they just didn't have it. And they'd run out. So I just got the Asda brand. I thought, well, this is the only thing I can get in easy.
Yeah.
And since then, I've not looked back. I've just loved the Asda brand since.
Yeah. That's beautiful. And then one bonus question before I go. What mom phase are you at the moment? So for me right now, Junie's just turned one. And she's like in the early stages of being one. She's like 12 months and 3 weeks, okay? But she is starting to like test boundaries, right? Like, you know, you tell her, because I don't really like to use the word no. So you tell her, and she will have a little moment. I don't like to use the T word either. Like, you know, she has a little moment and you're like, oh my God, she's really showing you what she's a fan of and she's not a fan of. So what mom phase are you at the moment?
I think we are at that no mom phase. I think he's very opinionated. He knows what he wants and what he doesn't want. So, you know, we're always at that stage, Jerry, no money, I don't want this one. And you're just like, okay, but can you do it? It doesn't matter whether you like it or not.
Do you not sound like your mom and dad?
I think that's where we are, you know, trying to get him to know the balance and the boundaries between listening to what mommy is saying and also knowing what she wants as well. So it feels like that's where we are, that toddler phase.
Do I have a long road with this whole toddler phase? Because Jesus Christ, I'm now like my Junie knows what she's doing, and I'm just like, oh God. I'm like, you know, like the reason I asked it's a phase because it feels like, you know, sleep, like the sleep phase of not sleeping was a phase, and then now this phase seems like it's gonna last for a minute. So I just need to just keep on praying and and calling you out to be like, what do I do now?
Definitely. It will pass. I think it goes quicker than we think. And so we kind of need to just enjoy the moment. It will pass. I think that's one thing I've learned. Learn to enjoy whatever stage you're in. And it will pass quickly. Yeah. Quicker than you think.
Man, like, honestly, I just want to tell you I love you. And thank you. See, I'm bringing out the softness in you. I'm like, channeling my inner Jerry up. No, honestly, I appreciate you. Of a lot of people, you know, like the journey I've had, you know, I've had to go through from like school, from bullying and all of that stuff. Like you were there. So just the fact that you're still here, I can still call you. I don't take that for granted. So thank you for being an amazing guest. And yeah, say hi to Jerry and his daddy for me. Oh, mom, dad, yeah, like the whole family, to be perfect.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for listening. See you in the next episode. Don't forget to subscribe, download, review, and rate wherever you listen to podcasts. You can message us on Instagram at thisismotherhoodpod and email us at thisismotherhoodpod@gmail.com.